Technorama episode 475, I Got Friends in Lowell Places.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for a planet about yay big, located somewhere beyond Pluto.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening or watching, if you're just joining us, thank you very much. We appreciate you. And if you're just returning to us from another week's gone by. Wow, time has gone by fast. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am present and accounted for.
He's local.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's on local host.
The transporter worked.
Apparently the time machine did not. It's right. Going to be another loud one, folks, because we also have...
Oh, me?
That guy.
It's me. It's That's Michael Arbenige. Hey, how you doing?
Joining us on microphone six is Michael Arbenige.
I am screwing up the video tonight because that's what I do.
He's the only sober one here.
We'll soon fix that.
Wait, what? This is sad. Hopefully next week we'll have Mrs. Technorama back to run the video.
It is pretty sad.
But then Craig won't be here. Also joining us is a familiar voice from days gone by.
Hi, I'm Brian Brown. Thanks, guys, for having me back again. Thanks, Chuck, for letting me out of the basement. Boy, it's been a long time.
There's no basement at the Bonnery Studios.
I put the lotion on its skin like you told me to, Chuck.
Wow. I think with that comment, we'll go to break now. Coming up in this episode, we have Star Trek Going Green, fictional materials, and so much more. You won't want to miss it. We will be right back.
It's raining.
It's raining in Phoenix. It's raining in Phoenix.
Write a song about it.
Never rains in Phoenix, Arizona.
How utterly mundane.
My water ski's caught on fire.
Oh, now that was dark.
You're rejected because that one's stupid.
That's my line.
Crazy. Imagine the squirrels.
All right. Something out of a monster flick. Just to mess with people's minds.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
We're amateur astronomers now.
That's right. I've seen the moon.
Leave it alone. leave it alone.
No, that's such an obvious. It's just too easy. We're not, especially since
Craig and I have been roommates in a hotel for a week.
What happens in Vegas
stays
in Vegas.
Yeah, except for the internet. That's no good.
No.
Oh, see, Craig, I told you we would forget to get that audio file out of the voicemail folder.
I can't trust you to do anything.
Let's see if I can get it before the music runs out. We have voicemail. We have listener feedback. So while you're singing, I'm going to fetch
letters. Oh, we get letters.
I thought we were supposed to sing that.
Letters. Go ahead.
Wait, what? Letters?
Mail.
Wait a minute. There we go. Hey, I did it without the lag that time.
Yeah, no lag, Craig.
Yeah, we're no Ben. Sorry. We're not going to sing along.
Ben gets into it.
Yeah, he does.
He really enjoys that.
We have a voicemail from Gary from Jacksonville. Wasn't he a former Slicer?
No, sort of.
Honorary?
Okay. Sure.
Honorary.
Sure, yeah.
He listened.
He called in enough that he was pretty much part of the show.
Hi, this is Gary from Jacksonville, and I'm responding to your question about the geekiest place to go. At first, I was going to say the Woodvar Hudbay Smithsonian Air and Space Museum Annex in Chantilly, Virginia, that has an SR-71 Blackbird,
yes,
an actual space shuttle, and dozens and dozens of other real planes, even a Concorde. And so that would be my current favorite geeky spot.
Oh, but brave Concorde.
But I did hear Chuck mention the option of time travel, and if I did have to time travel, I would say the 64 to 65 New York World's Fair.
There you go.
With the Perisphere and the World of Tomorrow with an actual functioning fusion generator, or at least that's what they claimed at the time, as well as a host of other really cool scientific gadgets. So that would be my time travel choice. So I'm anxious to hear what everyone else has to say. Bye.
All right. Air and Space Smithsonian would be right up there with it. World's Fairs, absolutely.
By far, yeah. That would be awesome.
There's a lot of them to choose from, too. Do they even do those anymore?
No.
I don't think so. That's a bummer.
But they really did have fusion. The government just covered it up.
Okay.
We have it. Trust me.
Where would you go, Brian?
It's there.
Where would I go?
Time travel is an option.
Time travel is an option.
It's hard to predict the future.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, actually. I'd actually want to go see something like maybe the Raising the Eiffel Tower.
That would be cool.
That'd be kind of geeky, you know.
Shake hands with Mr. Eiffel?
Sure, why not? It's kind of hard to say, actually. I'd have to think about it. I can't do anything on the spot. Sorry. I have performance anxiety, Chuck. So
see your doctor.
Did you wear your diaper?
No.
I've got one.
Go for it.
I would like to go see the Apollo 16 launch.
Oh. Why 16?
Or really any of them. I'll go witness any of them. It doesn't matter, really.
I was a little young for the moon landing, so it'd be nice to go back and actually witness that firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned on the show Leipzig, Germany. There are a lot of historical things in Leipzig, musicians, scientists, mathematicians. That just seemed to be a hotbed for centuries.
Actually, you know what I would think I'd like to do? Go back and kick Edison's ass, so that way Tesla actually wins.
Gosh, you're stealing
He's in the hospital for 2 weeks.
I know, Mike. You know, it's true. Because, I mean, Tesla was amazing.
That was actually mine, I would like to go back and meet Tesla.
Tesla, yeah,
and hang out with, because, I mean, talk about the most underrated.
Hey,
yeah. So he's getting his recognition now.
Wait a minute. So Brian would go back, kick Edison's ass, put him in the hospital for a couple weeks. Then Mike would go and visit Tesla and have some beer and offset those 2 weeks.
That's it. There we go.
They cancel each other out.
I like that.
Oh, wow. We still want to hear from you, dear listener. If you've got a favorite place that you would like to go, geekiest place in the world, time travel is an option. Get a hold of us. 206. It's 707-530-2428. Yep. New voicemail number.
It was retired, the old one, yeah.
Yeah, May 1st. It went.
Yep. Have you tried calling it?
So much for K7.
What, the old one?
Yeah.
No, what happens?
I don't know. Colin, tell us, somebody.
Yeah, or send us an email, technoramachuckchat.com.
There we go.
Okay, we've got the history thing. Should we roll for initiative?
Oh, wait.
Oh,
hold on. I got to get my lucky dice.
Oh, Craig left. We have one in the studio.
No.
He wants his lucky die.
Roll another man's dice.
There's Craig running through the shot here. That's awesome.
Craig never touches another man's dice.
We'll give him the -4 one.
Give him that one, yeah.
Oh, now he's got it. He brought them to Vegas for apparently no reason.
There we go.
He thought maybe the nice ladies would like to roll for initiative as well.
Hey, baby, you want to touch
my
dice? Oh,
Mike can't see the show notes.
Yeah, how else
I share my dice with no man.
Brian, do you want to use mine or Craig's?
I'll use Craig's since it's
right
here.
Okay, since it's closest. So.
Oh, he's giving me the stink eye. Look at that.
All right.
What is happening? Man.
Dude.
Do not fondle another man's dice.
Just an app. Congratulations, buddy.
There's sweat all over it now.
Craig rolled a 9.
You got a 9? Craig rolled a 9.
Oh. I rolled a natural 20.
Is he BSing us, Craig?
No, that's what
I rolled a natural 20.
Really?
We'll go with it.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Dude.
So,
Go ahead and roll yours, Craig. Go ahead and roll yours.
Brian.
Yes.
Chuck. Craig.
Wait a minute.
He's got to try again.
16.
Okay. Brian, Craig, Chuck. We're going around this way.
All right.
Oh, come on. Let's have Mike read. He's always funny.
Sure.
He doesn't have any show notes.
I don't have any show notes, and I can't.
He's got to focus on camera.
This camera thing.
Here we go.
Actually.
On this day in history for May 25th, 2016. This is the 146th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 220 days remaining in 2016. Brian.
It was on this day in 240 BC. We find the first recorded perihelion passage.
Perihelion passage.
I'm playing Craig tonight, guys. Of Halley's Comet.
Ow. That's your character?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, is my turn now?
Chaotic.
All right, am I next?
Yes. You're next.
John T. Scopes is indicted for teaching Charles Darwin's theory of evolution.
Shut up!
in Tennessee on this date in 1925. Jerks.
May 25th, 1953, at the Nevada test site, the United States conduct their first and only nuclear artillery test.
Ah.
Nuggler.
63 years ago today, the first public television station in the United States officially begins broadcasting as KUHT.
Cut.
From the campus of the University of Houston.
And also on this date in 1955, the first ascent of the Kanchenjuan.
Kanchenjunga.
The third highest mountain in the world by a British expedition led by Charles Evans, Joe Brown, and George Band, reached the summit in May 25th, followed by Norman Haiti and Tony Strether the next day.
You Close can just enough. Call it K7 like everybody yeah. else in the world.
No, this is the third highest. K7. Oh. K2 is the highest, K2. Actually.
Hey, who cares about the other two guys? They got their day late.
There's more Everest stuff coming up. 55 years ago today, U.S. President John F. Kennedy announces before a special joint session of the Congress his goal to initiate a project to put a man on the moon before the end of the decade.
Chuck, you... announces before a special joint session of the Congress. You got to do it right, man. Come on, jeez. Also today in 1966, Explorer 32 launches.
That was the easy one. Low-hanging fruit. No.
And that same date in 1968, the Gateway Arch.
The Gateway St. Louis Arch Gateway Arch. Gateway.
St. Louis, Louis.
It's dedicated? Okay. Gateway Arch, St. Louis Gateway Arch.
This is why we roll for initiative to see who gets this stuff. Wow. There's no writing going on here.
No typos. Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
Yes, I get Star Wars is released in theaters 39 years ago today.
Wow.
Yes. Now do you feel old?
Yeah. I really do, actually. It was 30 years ago today that Hands Across America takes place.
And Hands Across Many Other Places was the day after.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Hands Across.
Let's do Hands Across the Grocery Store.
Hands Across Craig, what?
Yeah, what?
It was... Wait a minute. That's yours. May 25th, 2001, Enric Heinemeier. Weinemeier. Weinemeier. He's 32 years old. Okay?
Oscar Meyer.
Yeah. Boulder, Colorado becomes the first blind person to reach the summit of Mount Everest.
All right.
I'm leaving that one alone.
Yeah.
That's an awesome accomplishment.
Yes, it was.
That same date in 2008, NASA's Phoenix lander lands in Green Valley region of Mars to search for environments suitable for water and microbial life.
Not very green, by the way.
Yeah, no. I was going to say. Also, today in 2012, the Dragon became the first commercial spacecraft to successfully rendezvous with the ISS.
Yes.
The International Space Station.
And happy birthday on this date goes out to American poet and philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson, born on this date in 1803.
Hey, Craig, where is Waldo Emerson?
I can't find
him. Oh, okay.
He Ralphed.
He's around somewhere.
Also born that same date in 1889, founder of the Sikorsky Aircraft Company, Igor Sikorsky.
It's Igor.
Igor.
Co-founder of Random House, Bennett Cerf, was born today in 1898. I like Cerf.
Kerf.
And in 1926, also on this date, it's the birthday of actor Claude Akins.
I know him from Moving On and a whole bunch of old westerns.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Westerns.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's also the birthday of actress and soprano Beverly Sills, 87 years ago today.
Russian engineer and astronaut Georgi Grenko is 65 today.
Grechko
is 85, actually. He's in the Soviet years, he's probably 137.
He's probably one of the few
pickled by vodka
cosmonauts that's still alive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite actors, Sir Ian McKellen, is 77.
Where do we know him from?
Lots of things.
Star Trek?
Yeah, Star Trek. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
He was Captain Picard, wasn't he?
Yes, that's it.
I think he was R2-D2.
Wasn't he on Voyager 2?
He was a damn good R2-D2.
Yeah, he played Ferengi on Voyager. Yeah.
Actress, singer Leslie Uggams is 73.
Frank Oz is now 72.
Oh! Uh-huh.
And psychologist and computer scientist Catherine G. Wolfe is 69.
And our final birthday goes out to actor, singer, producer, and screenwriter Mike Myers is 53. No way!
Wow.
Way!
I say it.
Take
get
us home.
In my
the
belly.
Music is running out. What day is it?
Oh,
don't forget, May 25th is Green Geek Pride Day and Towel Day.
So right. Geek Pride Day, do we have like a moniker or something? Do you just have, you know, like Gay Pride has a rainbow? Do we have a QR code or something?
Probably.
Oh, we should.
Something, yeah.
Scan me, baby.
That's the way it was on this day in history for May 25th, 2016, on time, on target, on budget.
All right, we're out of here. Wait, we had a budget?
Bullseye. Random news clip of the day.
Good news, everyone.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
We'll get a little bit more details about this later, but we went to the Lowell Observatory yesterday, and of course, they talk a lot about Pluto, the New Horizons
pause the audio,
spacecraft.
By the way. Pause the video, by the way.
It does pause. This ad drives me nuts on this website. Oh, please don't click. Please don't click. Oh, he clicked.
Oh, no.
All right, we'll mute the audio so you don't hear it. Brian, would you like to read on with this?
Sure. Riding high on the success of their Pluto exploration, NASA's New Horizons team is planning on extending the mission in order to explore MU-69.
What did you say? MU what?
I said FU-69.
Look, there's a picture of Michio Kaku on the screen.
Yeah,
squirrel.
It's an icy rock in the Kuiper Belt, a disc-shaped region of icy debris that encircles our solar system. MU-69 is considered to be a cold classical object, which means it has existed undisturbed since the formation of the solar system.
Like Mozart.
Craig's hairdo. We wish.
Yeah.
Actually, most of the objects in the Kuiper Belt are primordial objects.
Ooh, that's a cool word.
Yeah. That's a $10 word. That blows our budget.
That's the first one of the few times you see primordial without soup.
Yeah, exactly. There's a quote here that says they were never pushed around by giant planets. They're pretty much where they formed and haven't been disturbed, except for occasionally bumping into each other. This is Simon Porter, who's a member of the New Horizons team. Due to the small size and distance of MU-69, its exact brightness and measurements are still unknown, although the team estimates that it's approximately 20 to 30 miles across. In addition, the team hopes to find the moon find a moon at that icy body, actually.
Interesting.
And it goes on so forth, and it says we can't conclusively say it has moons, or not based on the Hubble images, at least. So, basically it goes on and talks about a lot of different things.
Hey. New Horizons went zinging past Pluto at like 13 billion miles an hour. And now where does it go? So they said, let's go explore more objects in the Kuiper Belt.
They should.
Yeah, and they also said, hey, we've never seen any of these objects before, so let's go out, take a look at them. You know, hey, we've been to comets. Guess what?
We got a camera there.
Yeah, hey, why not? I think it's cool that they're actually extending the mission. That's
really absolutely.
Neat,
so. Yeah, let's get our money's worth out of
this thing. What NASA's been really, really good about as of late. I mean, the Mars missions and finding other things to do with the hardware that they're already got out.
Yeah, considering that their budgets are...
Exactly. I mean, they have to get...
It's working. It's operating, so why not?
Sure.
Yeah, we haven't got rid of Chuck. He's still working.
for now. Hey, by the way, the primordial objects that we're talking about.
Yes.
Kind of goes along with the geek day. They were pushed around by larger objects.
And yeah, that's true.
Occasionally bumping into each other.
I just want to go down to the diner for a big bowl of primordial soup, you know. And
ew.
It's kind of slimy.
It tastes rocky.
It's green.
It's kind of green, you know. It's algae. Got a lot of kale in it.
Kale.
It's good for you.
It is very good for you.
Vegan and paleo. All in one.
It's pre-paleo.
Yeah. Pre-paleo.
Alrighty, let's scroll down to the May birthdays. End of May, we have May 26th is Eli Euclizon. I'm sorry.
Wait. Yes. Scoot back just a little bit because remember we didn't record last week.
We didn't. So what would that make it? So the 25th would be the 18th?
That'd be JP, CJ, and Tim Elliott on the 22nd.
And the 23rd is Chris Zeal, or Zile, host and producer of the AVS cast and 24 Under Review. Thank you very much. Then we get to the 26th with Eli Eagles on. We had some songs in here, did
where's
we
your,
not?
The birthday song? I started to say Breakfast Club. Where's your
No, the birthday
your birthday music.
Music.
There you go.
Birthday music. We had some good birthday music. Let's do this one.
Happy Birthday Ramones, maybe?
Right. We turn the music down.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, nice. 8-bit birthday music.
Yeah.
We also have Tanya from Dancing with Elephants, if you're still listening out there, Tanya. And Greg, happy birthday, Tanya, on the 27th. 28th is Chris Martins, host of the Jesus Geek, ZNet Central, and producer of On the Edge of Darkness. Darkness.
It was on the edge of the browser.
It was on the edge of the screen. May 30th is Petri Lopia. And let's see, 25th, 26th, 26th. I think we got to go the first and second or close to that. June 1st is Selgenor, and Anthony Gartner is on the second, also known as Enigma VB. Is that Visual Basic?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, we'll go with that. Happy birthday to all of you. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, weren't we going to switch up the calendar, make a public calendar or something, Craig?
Yeah, I'm going to change it up. I'm gonna move it out of this wiki.
For now, we're still going to chuckjack.com/wiki. We'll let you know how and when that changes so that you can be part of the birthday
calendar.
We're
going to retire along with the phone number, our old phone number.
Phone number got ready. Wow, 2016 is the year of change.
Yes.
Happy birthday to all of you. Level up.
Level up.
What's next? Oh, we're going into another break.
A break?
A break. Let's take a break. We need a break.
Okay, let's go to a break.
Coming at the latter half of this show, we have our Go Green segment that we mentioned earlier. We've got a shout out to our Patreons, the Millennium Falcon, and more. Stay tuned. Be right back. Hey, if you're listening to this before May 31st, 2016, there's still time to nominate your favorite speculative fiction podcast for a Parsec Award. The Parsec Awards are given to those shows that demonstrate excellence in speculative fiction. This is not a popularity contest. This is a judged event, so everyone has a chance to win. Awards are presented at DragonCon in Atlanta, Georgia, the first weekend in September. Know any audio or video podcasts with great stories, comedy, small cast, large cast, short form, long form, anthology, news? There's so much to talk about, and the Parsec Awards is here to recognize all of them. Hurry! There's only a limited time left to enter your 2016 nominations. Go to ParsecAwards.com before May 31st, 2016, and show your love.
Welcome to Hoover Dam, folks. My name is Charlie, and I am the number one dam guide at Hoover Dam. It's been a pleasure taking this group around and showing them the parts of this marvelous engineering structure here. Take it away, Chuck.
Street music.
I'll take it away. I'll take it far, far away.
Take it away, Chuck.
Now, we, like many of you, enjoy drinking our beer, but we realize that those little six-pack pull tabs are dangerous to our environment.
Yes, I always cut mine up.
Well, even if you cut them up, that may not be enough.
Yeah,
they can still eat them.
Yes. Exactly.
Animals eat them. So, a Florida microbrewery has created an edible six-pack ring that, if it ends up in the ocean, and they certainly plan on it being there, can safely be eaten by marine life. Saltwater Brewery in Delray Beach, Florida team, with the advertising firm We Believers to produce the biodegradable rings as an alternative to the plastic version that can ensnare fish, turtles, seabirds, fruit bats, breakfast cereals. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait.
Craig's just, step.
Craig.
What is it, man? What is it with you and me?
You're in the studio.
You're in the studio. You're right here. You're the abuse.
It's fine.
Awesome.
Right. I'll take it.
The punching bag can be punched.
Right there.
Plastic rings can also be fatal to animals that eat them, even when the rings are cut. Using the leftover barley and wheat remnants from the brewing process.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's even better.
This is cool. See?
Okay.
Saltwater Brewery engineered a ring that's strong enough to support the weight of six beers. It's important. It's more expensive to produce than the plastic, but its backers hope its competitors and big-time brewers
will adopt the technology and make it cheaper for everyone to use.
That is really cool.
That's smart.
I think so too. Yeah. Quote, mm-hmm. We want to influence the big guys and all kinds and kind of influence them to get on board, says Chris Gobe, Saltwater Brewing president. And there's a video attached in the show notes if you go to chuckchat.com/technorama.
I buy beer like White Zombie and some other ones that actually the peanut butter and jelly one we talked about a while back. They sell their beer in cans. And instead of having the plastic rings.
The rings, they have like a solid cap.
Yeah, it's like a cap on it. So it's not really.
And we've seen that on
the Orange Blossom one.
Orange Blossom has it, yeah.
Now, see, my thought was, well, first off, I not only cut mine, like you said you did, but I also throw mine in the rice recycling. So hopefully it doesn't come into the ocean. But I was thinking instead of making them edible, which makes sense, just having one that would dissolve in like water.
Make them out of tortilla chips, then you've got your beer and your chips, and then the people will eat them.
You can put a salad in there, like a tortilla salad. Yeah,
salad.
I don't want no barley remnants. That doesn't sound appetizing. Salad.
Fiber, come on, Chuck. Salad. Fiber.
Fiber.
It'll make you a regular guy.
That's a load of crap. Don't get started.
Wow.
I missed the moniker. That was our Hacks and Strange Stories, folks. Thanks. Shout out to the chat room. I can't see if we've got a chat room here tonight.
But I can't click on this. I can't touch the screen.
No, you can't touch. There's a point to that.
Sucks.
Stop touching
Join us Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time. Go to bit.ly/Technorama Live. We'd love to see you there on the web, online. If you can't catch us live, you can always catch us on video on YouTube. Technorama Podcast.
Semi-sort of live.
We're still alive, as far as we know. Unless you're watching this.
Are any of us really alive?
Yeah. Alternate reality thing. Oh, the whole existential matrix thing.
I'm a battery.
This is just a giant video game.
When we release the podcast on Wednesday. That's always easy, too. You can subscribe at chuckchat.com/Technorama. We don't have any remember when, so we'll go right into thank you to the patrons. Patron music. Thank you there to you Kyle go. Nishioka, Mike Will, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnod, and Nick St. Gabriel. You'll notice we're missing a name on that list. We lost one. Thank you very much to Chad D, who is graciously contributing throughout the year.
Yeah, we're going to send a guy to your house.
A Mormon?
Jehovah's Witness. We'll be seeing you really
Jehovah's
soon.
Witness. Right? Jehovah's Witness.
I was thinking more like Bounty Hunter, but okay.
Wow. Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Our patrons not only get this show, but they also get a special after show that's actually released before the show. We're being all timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly on you. This week's discussion will start with visionary technologies that may make your life better. I'm just prepping the studio guests.
Wheels are turning.
Wheels are turning, and we will be recording that right after this show. If you want to listen in on this, you can do it for as little as $1 a show. Go to patreon.com/technorambapodcast and be a supporter.
Please.
Beg. Craig will beg.
Hey, there's room at the table, like the HTML table.
Yeah, it's true.
There is. Yeah.
Plenty of room.
We could use some help. Your help is appreciated. All right, now are we in the media corner?
Sure, why not?
Okay, let's do the media corner music.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
We have a picture from, I believe it was Claudio, right?
Yeah, Claudio sent this over, and I have seen it other places that have more comments. I should have put that link in here.
That's all right.
But anyway, this is a picture of the Millennium Falcon showing it actually in use as a freighter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not necessarily the Millennium Falcon. It's the YT-1300.
Right.
But yeah. I often wondered, ever since I saw the first Star Wars, is why is it shaped that way? Why is the cockpit off to one side and it has these sort of clamp out in front? It didn't make any sense, and this perfectly explains it.
And damn, I'm old. So in 78, back in 1978, when I got my first Millennium Falcon model.
Yes.
That image was in the instructions of that model.
No way.
Showing exactly why.
Wait a minute. Wait, wait.
That it was hooked
what kind
up.
Of what kind of model? Like one, like a intricate one you glue together.
No, yeah, yeah. Okay. It was. I think it was a monogram. Marvel? It might have been a monogram model. Okay. I can't remember which one it was.
It was usually AMT or monogram were the two big ones.
This thing's been floating around the internet now for about a week or so, a couple weeks or so.
Right.
And I'm looking at it going. Who didn't know this?
A lot of people didn't know
evidently.
It.
Hey, thanks for sharing, Mike.
So anyway, sorry I didn't realize that I had
some
integral knowledge that nobody else had, but I remember seeing that in the instructions. Well, and you could, there was a mock-up for it where you could actually mock up
storage.
Could
you build a barge that it
pushes? You could mock it up if you wanted to. You'd have to kit bash that out of a bunch of other models, but you could kit bash it out of some like ship models and maybe a couple aircraft models.
Well,
and get the modules. And
well,
so
what's
forth
funny is
to.
It's funny you bring this up because I've had I had to download it somewhere, but I had the book I had was a Star Wars Blueprints.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had like a blue cover, and you go through, and it had some stuff from the Millennium Falcon, like it showed the ramp and. You know how they just the blueprints of their design. I've never seen this at all, not at all. So I'm surprised when you just said that.
Yeah,
that's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. Maybe it was just something that was a concept that they did for just the modeling instructions.
Could be.
Who knows? And it just kind of got lost. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. But this makes sense because you know the cockpit's off to one side. You got the radar dish on the
absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely.
And somebody in the comments made a good point that. The engines must be like a tugboat. So when you don't have this weight in front of it, it would be like super fast.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it makes perfect sense when you're looking at the craft. I mean, why is the cockpit off to the side? You know, there's no point in that.
To look around the
barge. You're looking
that's
around
in front
the cargo.
Now, I also did look in the owner's manual because I do have that for the Millennium Falcon as well. And there was nothing... They mentioned this, but there was two. They mentioned two different models. One was for P for people, and one was F for freighter. And it had like more cargo space for one, and for the people passengers rather, it had more space like the Falcon that we know today.
Mm-hmm. Now I should clarify that they were not. They didn't look exactly like this. I mean, it was not this exact image that is shown here. I think they were square. Freighters. I think there was actually eight of them. In fact, this is two stacks, two high, two by two. Yeah, but I mean, it still was the same thing where they were basically there were two stacks on top of each other, and the nose came in, clipped in, and pushed it around. You know, so yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It explains it all.
It does. It does.
Because the Star Wars craft in general were not really intuitive. They weren't what you'd expect to see, and they were very. Non-traditional from earlier sci-fi movies. No, no flying saucers. I mean, the Millennium Falcon's about as close to a saucer as you get, but even that design obviously doesn't follow that model. The TIE fighters, clearly you can't see left or right when you're in the cockpit.
Right. Well, there's scans in there. I think it's a 3D image that actually rotates around them to get past the collectors is what actually is happening inside there.
So somebody had a really good imagination, but also really good engineering skills, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ideas in the Star Wars stuff that, you know, for like this, you know, or they really planned out something, but only used like, you know, 50% of what they designed.
They used the cool part of that. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine Han Solo and Chewie flying around with that sucker on the nose?
Exactly.
It wouldn't call the Millennium Falcon, it'd be called the Schnoz.
The sucker's a little top heavy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Imagine trying to turn in that thing.
Well, you got to realize that the people who are designing this are thinking past just designing a ship. It's all about purpose.
Yeah.
What was the thing for? And how, you know, exactly the same reason how the Enterprise got designed. You know, if you're going to have a faster than light vehicle, you're going to have all this energy. It's got to be away from that's why the nacelles were on there. That's
right.
Why the saucer section was the way it was. I mean, it was all thought out. Somebody put a lot of time in.
Yeah, there's some design principles and thought into it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not just thrown together and go, ooh, this looks cool.
But it does. The Falcon does look cool.
Absolutely, it does. It looks cool, but it still has practical function.
And it makes you wonder, you know, that somebody came to him with a really intricate design that was actually functional, and they went, can you make it look cooler?
Yeah,
because that's probably what happened.
That's
probably
never happened. I'm sure.
You know, it's all nice and functional. That's great, Bob. That's great. Can you put some racing stripes on it?
Maybe? Yeah, exactly.
Something
And a bathroom.
And a bathroom. Bathroom.
Hey, where do you go to the bathroom on the Falcon?
The Wookiee box.
I'm not scooping it.
Exactly. You're on duty this week, Craig.
That is one hell of a scoop. Hey.
Chewie coughed up a fur ball.
Can you imagine the danglies?
Oh!
Just saying.
Oh, moving right along.
You're welcome.
Wookiee dingleberries.
That's where Star Trek meets Klingons, or Star Wars meets Klingons.
Yo,
Star Wars,
the Klingons. Yes.
And we had to go there.
Yep.
All right, changing gears a little bit. We have an ad from Visually that has all these amazing fictional materials. There is, of course, adamantium, and they explain what it is. But then they put it to some kind of practical use, like...
If it
order
was real.
Now and get a free set of adamantium steak knives.
Nice. You know what? That makes perfect sense. I'd want adamantium knives. They'd never go dull, ever.
Right. An adamantium car, they say here.
An adamantium car would resist all scratches, dents, and crashes. Of course, that's if yours is the only car made of this stuff.
Exactly.
It slices through other vehicles like nothing flat.
Absolutely.
They have carbonite, which I believe you guys have parodied on Slice in the past.
Oh, yeah.
A liquid made of carbon gas can be frozen into solid. It's used to preserve food and other goods during lengthy transportation.
People.
If it was real, if you thought you could keep your garden veggies fresh in your freezer, oh boy, would this be a game changer. It could also make some really morbid wall art.
Have you seen Chuck's melons? They're fresh.
And carbonite.
They talk about chronotons from Futurama.
Daedric metal from
Elder Scrolls. Yep. Dark matter, also from Futurama. If it was real, it's not useful in this day and age, but take a moment to wonder what it would be like if your cat pooped rocket fuel.
Wow. At least it'd be useful.
Yep. Dilithium. Hmm. They talk about dilithium. We're all familiar with that from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, in the Star Trek universe, it also makes lovely jewelry. They really take this in a lot of different places. Flubber.
Kryptonite.
But kryptonite, this is one version of ex-kryptonite, grants Superman-like powers to normal humans. Another can split a Kryptonian into two beings with heightened intelligence. Sadly, most types are harmful or useless.
Mostly useless.
Mithril. What if you made mithril windows? That would be interesting because it's very strong, very light. We have Frick. I like this. I totally forgot about this from the Star Wars universe. Expanded universe, excuse me. This is nearly indestructible material. A container made of Frick was able to survive the destruction of Alderaan.
Somebody's shoes survived Alderaan?
No. Certainly anything that could survive a blast of the Death Star is what we want to be making our planes out of. On an everyday level, some Frick-toed boots could save your toes 1,000 times over.
Wow. Forget about the steel-toed shoes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, let's make our planes out of this indestructible material. Oh, rules of physics come into play. When you crash. Doesn't really matter. Squish.
Yeah, right. Squish. The plane stays shape, but everybody inside is still jelly. Yeah,
hose them off.
Your internal organ.
Hose them off.
Put her back in the air in an hour.
Yeah.
Let's get that thing back in rotation.
You remember Atlas Shrugged with Reardon metal? Well, Atlas Shrugged, Hank Reardon's green-blue alloy is lighter and stronger than steel. If it was real, Reardon metal allowed Hank Reardon to create one of the most important steel companies in the country. Certainly, that should speak to its capabilities as a building material. So they kind of put this stuff to other uses. It's kind of fun. Redstone from Minecraft. Skrith.
Okay.
From Ringworld. Skrith absorbed 100% of all incoming radiation and quickly dissipates heat. It's a poor use of its amazing abilities, but a house made of it would be very safe, and it'd be easy for you to control the temperature inside of it.
I wonder if
you crossed like Skrith with the Frick and you made like a tornado house.
Yeah.
Skrith it, Frick. Skrith Frick.
Valyrian steel.
Oh, from Song of Ice and Fire, yeah.
Yep. Like Skrith, imagining daily uses of Valyrian steel seems like an underuse of its power. But Valyrian steel steak knife or letter opener would cut through paper like steaks like butter. And cut through paper and steaks like butter.
Steak butter? What?
Steak butter.
Buttered steaks.
Buttered steak.
I like how they
put butter on steaks. I like stuffed butter.
Hey, by the way, on these graphics, I like how they best offer today.
Yeah. 30, 50, 70% look, today it, only.
Even Captain America's shield's on sale.
Vibranium.
Vibranium. Oh, vibranium. There
premium
you go.
Premium quality. Order now. Vibranium, as the name implies, absorbs all vibrations and kinetic energy directed at it. It stores this energy to make itself stronger. So the harder the blow, the stronger it gets. So its safety is its priority. This is the stuff you need for your work or home.
Or your condoms.
What?
I'm just saying.
There you go.
Yo, kinetic vibrations. The harder you hit it, the better it works.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
The harder you hit it, baby.
There's more, but we're going to...
Wonderflonium.
We're going to end on that note.
You're welcome.
Okay, there is a rumor going around. Or actually, it's not a rumor.
Oh, yeah.
Fans have been
campaigning about this.
Craig, I believe you spotted this one, and we're going to take this in a new direction when we're done with the article. But give us the gist.
Yes. The number of emails, Facebook messages, and questions that we've gotten over the last few days referring to the fan-cited site, the redshirtsalwaysdie.com, about Nathan Fillion being the captain of the CBS new Star Trek series is astounding. The former Star Trek captain of Firefly and Serenity is clearly a fan favorite for the job, but he hasn't been given the role just yet.
Well, that's part of it because Castle just got kiboshed.
Yeah, so he's,
that's good news.
Yeah, so he's free and clear to navigate.
So he can do all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
That's right. We've mined the internet in our CBS context, and we can't get confirmation on the voracious Fillion rumors. We did find out, however, that the root of the rumors is probably a post from the blog called Sci-Fi Obsessions blog titled Rumor Mill, Nathan Fillion, new Star Trek captain, Rumor Mill. Well, that kind of gives it away right there. Anyway, the title makes you think that Fillion is rumored to have already gotten the job, but the contents of the short article tell a very different tale. Scroll down, please. You lied. There's a Savick. The blog post is mostly just making a plea to CBS that Fillion would be a great next Star Trek captain. I agree. The post even ends by giving an address for fans to write to CBS and campaign for Fillion to become the captain. Should I keep reading?
Yeah.
We love the passion of the fans, and Fillion is fantastic, but you have to be careful when you make a claim like that. The only evidence the blog gives that Fillion's show Castle was canceled and that he has lost a lot of weight recently. So it's probably wise not to pin all your hopes on Fillion as a new Star Trek captain just yet, but we have to agree that he'd be a fantastic choice.
I do agree.
I think he'd be wonderful.
Now, Chuck and I were talking about this. He'd have to play it different than Mal or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Although elements of Mal wouldn't be
terrible.
It would flow with the Kirk, you know, not play by the rules all the time thing.
Now, true. Have they narrowed down when this series is going to take place?
Yes.
It's going to be before Generation.
In terms of the timeline?
Yeah. Now, our friend Clinton Alvord had posted some tips, or not tips, but some observations from the teaser. Do you see the little teaser?
Yeah, I sure did.
Which made sense. They show a moon that's blown up. Then they show, so he thought it might be Praxis.
Yeah, Praxis, yeah.
And then they showed...
So after Undiscovered Country, right. But so, before Generations.
Yeah, that's where he surmised that it was between those two.
Yeah, I've heard the same theory. So.
Which that would work for me. I think that's cool.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, so what do y'all think?
I think he would be good. Now, who would you place into other characters?
Ooh. That's going to be tough because Fillion... he plays well with a certain group around him.
Okay, so let's take some Firefly characters and see if we can map them into the Star Trek universe.
I don't know I think that's...
You could have Jane as your security officer. Sure, no, why not?
That would hurt my brain. Zoe could be Uhura.
Wait a minute.
No, she could be his first officer. For sure.
Craig had a theory.
Okay. I had a theory. What if Jane was more like Spock?
Oh, cerebral. No.
Kirk, you're damaging my logic.
My calm.
No, my logic.
You're damaging my logic.
No. That's got to be a t-shirt. Not going to be the
you're damaging my logic.
Here, no.
He could be a Bones.
I could see him as the Bones. I could see him as
the
Doctor.
Wait a minute. So I think you got to think outside of the box. We're mapping them to TOS characters.
Yeah.
maybe on this ship, it's a different crew. It could have a different dynamic. Maybe he's friends with or closer with others, you know, other than just a Vulcan and a doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
See, I mean, Abrams is already basically blown up the universe and started over again.
Yeah,
so,
but that's
a
different timeline.
It is a different timeline, but I mean, just yet another incarnation reimagining of this. I'm not sure I'm on board. Hey, I'd have to see something really spectacular to really.
You need more lens flares, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. I need more lens flares because lens flares makes it all better.
So you think, what if you had the captain that confided in the janitor? You know, on the ship.
Are there janitors on the ship? We have never seen it.
That would be interesting. Now,
didn't you read
now
red shirts?
I would be all over that.
Well, I mean, red shirts is a whole different thing.
Yeah, just think out of the box, you know.
Because some of the more interesting episodes that I saw were the ones with the lesser crew. The ones that you
like
never see.
And so on.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Come have a seat. Come have a seat.
Grab some headphones, Ben. Put on
Oh, hey, Ben just joined us.
That's So what if the captain confides in the janitor? Say the doctor is like super likable because nobody ever likes the doctor.
Who is the groundskeeper that Picard took a shining to?
Boothby.
Yeah, exactly. The guy that was addicted to the holodeck. I mean, that was a great storyline.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
That they tried to explore, but I think it needed to be explored a little deeper. But I think they were afraid of where it was going because what exactly was he doing in that holodeck?
That's Barkley, yeah.
What happens in the holodeck stays in the holodeck.
Pretty much.
Broccoli.
Broccoli, yes.
There's a lot of cleanup needed afterwards. That's basically what it was.
Oh.
There goes the janitor. He's like, Captain, this place is a mess. Let me tell you.
Clean up on holodeck 5.
Looks like a Jackson Pollock painting in here.
That was the name of the last show. Jackson Pollock.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Ben's joining us on microphone 5.
Actually, he's just running out the door right now.
In time because we got to the point in the show where we talk about what we did yesterday and what's coming up at the show.
Still an empty seat.
Right on cue.
We went up to the Lowell Observatory on Saturday, the 21st of May, and we talked to Kevin Schindler, who is the historian up there, did a wonderful job, and we saw various scientific, tours, shows, telescopes.
Lectures.
It was a lot of fun. I think most of the tour guides were NAU, Northern Arizona University
students. I think they all were, weren't they?
All the ones that, I think so.
Yeah, I think pretty much they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even many, like the gift shop employees and whatnot. So that was a great way to exercise their ability to speak in public. Some better than others.
So those who failed got the gift shop duty, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, those solar. Those
would you like a t-shirt with that?
Gosh, sir, you look mighty swell in this.
I don't know.
Eclipse glasses are for demonstration purposes only.
There were one or two lecturers yesterday that I thought, I'm not so sure you should be lecturing.
Maybe they should actually read the slides when they're telling you what they are. You know, like Pathfinder versus, you know.
Yeah, we talked about that. Pathfinder versus Sojourner, though. The
There's
relationship
so many.
But we also had one that was a dynamo.
Ashlyn,
our friend Ashlyn. I hope she's listening now because we'll probably see her at
Comic-Con.
So, Ben, what were your thoughts about our long but wonderful tour yesterday?
That was one of the most enjoyable times I've ever had. I mean, to be able to go...
Because of Chuck and I. I understand.
Do I know you? I have never seen you in the studio before in my life. I have no idea who you are.
He just showed up.
I know, Ben. I'm sorry I couldn't be there to ease the transition between them.
No, seriously, I remember when Keith and I left the house, we were both wondering, you know, we had no idea what we were going to be expecting. We did not know what we would be, what we were getting ourselves into. And what was so amazing is that this is more than just a historical observatory. I mean, it's not just a teaching observatory. It does actual research. I mean, this is a working facility.
Yeah. You think, oh, it's old. They discovered Pluto in the 1930s. What could it possibly be doing today?
But when you consider, I mean, with Hubble outside Earth's atmosphere, all the really super advanced observatories that are all over the world in like elevations so high that you need oxygen masks and, you know, harps and halos optional, that I really didn't think that they could provide any kind of really worthwhile research there. Surprise. Who knew? Yeah. I was very impressed. And I think what I like most of all, Keith and I agreed on this, is we love the enthusiasm that is there. I mean, people who work there are there because of the passion that they have for astronomy, astrophysics, science in general. And that kind of passion is infectious. And I like the fact that they were able to share that with the general public, because who knows, you might be inspiring the next generation of scientists. Well,
and they talked about that. They said, you know, Schiaparelli inspired Lowell. Lowell inspired V.M.
Putnam?
Slipher.
Yeah, Slipher.
Slipher. And Earl Slipher. And I'm really trying to recall the
names. So many names yesterday.
Yeah. And that got into Carl Sagan inspired Neil deGrasse Tyson. And Neil deGrasse Tyson is inspiring kids today.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, keep the thing moving forward, because that's exactly what science and technology needs. And these people are doing it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And you never know what 6-year-old or 60-year-old is going to come along and make the next...
Yeah.
The next discovery or idea, or even just, you know, pass on the torch. That's exactly what they need here.
There. Yeah. And to build on what you just said and what Ben said, I like the passion. I like them keeping the momentum up, because they provide a haven of being open. They're open there for the public to come up. I don't think there was any cost really to go around just looking at the telescopes. But there were costs to do tours and stuff like that. But people can come up there at any time and just roam around or whatever and get inspired by science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are doing a fundraiser right now until July of 2014. They hope to gain enough money to restore the original telescope that was used to discover Pluto, the one that had the big picture plates that Clyde Tombaugh flipped back and forth and found Pluto. That one is getting a little... aged and needs a restoration. They had a beautiful, recently restored, last year, I believe, they said, the Clark telescope, the big monster silver one that just gorgeous the lens scopes in this thing.
Yeah, they had a before and after picture they were circulating around, and the lens looked clear on the after, but it was like before, it was like black.
It might as well have been a tire.
Or sunglasses.
That's right.
Why? You looking at solar eclipses? Because this thing's pretty thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun up there. If you do have a chance to go through Flagstaff, Arizona, stop at the Lowell Observatory. Leave lots of time, because there's so much to do.
And check the weather.
Yeah.
Check the weather before you go.
Dress appropriately, right, Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it takes a long time to get up there.
How are you dressed?
Seriously. He was wearing a polo shirt and shorts.
Yeah, that's
right. And it was cold.
Yeah, and in the daytime, it was 61 and windy.
Yeah. I was trying to see Saturn, but it kept shaking. Or it was me, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Shorts and Flagstaff at this time of year. You're so cute.
I don't think any of the natives told me about this.
It's Arizona. It must be warm.
Yeah. You're in the desert, right? Yeah.
So look forward to hearing that interview. We've got that coming up with Kevin Schindler and many more. We're going to try and get that in. If you are a cross listener from Technorama to TG Geeks, you're likely to hear much of the same material.
So. Pretty much.
Yeah. We see. We had two recorders on the table.
Yeah.
Keith Lane was running his recorder. I was running my recorder. And we found out there were some technical issues with Keith's recorder. So you are going to hear the exact same material.
It'll exactly be the same.
But we're all in it, so it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not saying that Ben's recording had aliens, but...
Aliens.
Aliens. Yes, there were alien signals on his recording.
I'm telling you, who knew what we were picking up?
That was cool.
I liked your view on the camera there. Aliens.
Aliens. I'm not saying aliens, but... Aliens.
Giorgio. On that note, we'll
have
take
that Shatner pregnant pause.
Yeah. Aliens.
The Shatner pregnant pause. Okay, we'll take it out.
Yeah, move along.
Thank you very much. If you want to get in touch with us, call the listener line 707-530-CHAT, 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Technorama at checkchat.com. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Craig?
Yeah.
You should be here every weekend.
That's a lot of travel.
Well, not on the Technorama jet.
Yeah. We got budgets, you know.
Yeah.
Ben, glad you could make it in
for for 5 minutes.
Well, yeah. we still have the after show.
It's important stuff.
We still have the after show, and we have a great topic that I think you'll be able to contribute to.
Indeed.
Michael, thank you for running the video.
Oh, not a problem.
While Mrs. Technorama is out.
Yes.
He's the stunt Mrs. Technorama.
Filling in for...
You're definitely not as pretty as her, that's for sure.
Filling in for Mrs. Technorama is the oboe.
A hobo.
That's
right.
Wow. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and Craig knows the line.
Aliens. No, 101. Something like that, right?